Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Good Sunday morning, Rashini with you, along with Dr. David Hilden. And it is everyone's favorite open lines today on Healthy Matters. Give us a text with your questions, 651-989-9226. Dr. Hilden answers a lot of things, medical and non-medical. A lot of things get thrown at you, Dr. Hilden.
It does indeed. Good morning, Rashini. Yeah, I can't even hardly think of the breadth of the topics we've discussed since we started this show in 2009. And so keep them coming, listeners. See what you got for me this morning. I have poured myself a nice big cup of Kona Joe's coffee, and I'm ready to go. I'm sorry we're not with you in person at the State Fair. Best wishes to everybody who's out at the fair today. We're gonna not do it this year from the fair, but that's okay. We're going to talk to all of you anyway over the airwaves here. And if you're out at the fair, have a mini donut for me. And if you happen to be near the food building, the best 20 square feet of the Minnesota State Fairgrounds is Danielson's and Daughters Onion Rings. And no, they didn't pay me to say that. I probably shouldn't talk about an individual business, but go ahead. Get the onion rings. I hope you're having a good time at the fair, and I hope you're staying safe. If you're in the buildings, please do mask up. And if you're outside in massive crowds, I'd mask up there too. But otherwise, just enjoy. It's supposed to be, I think, a really nice day at the fair today.
Dr. Hilden, I'm glad you mentioned onion rings. I did not know about that stand, and onion rings are one of my favorite foods on earth.
These are amazing. In fact, they're not really rings. They're onion fragments and stuff. And I don't know what they do on the batter, but holy cow, I've been doing it. Even growing up, I ate these, and I wasn't a big onion kid, but I think they've been there for some decades. It's sort of kind of by where the – sort of kind of – how's that from Minnesota thing to say? By one end of the Sky Ride, the end by the Space Needle, over at that end of the fairgrounds, right up next to the food building, but outside the food building. Just a little stand, Danielson's and Daughters. And I don't know any of the Danielson's. I don't even know if his daughters are there, but they've got great onion rings.
No, that sounds great. And actually, if people are at the fair today, you can listen to us, even though we're not at the fair, and text us your questions, 651-989-9226, on this Open Line Sunday on Healthy Matters, powered by Hennepin Healthcare. Dr. Hilden gets a lot of questions, and you've really seen it all, heard it all, over these 13 years of doing this show. But you have also seen it all, heard it all, in your medical practice. Now, does anything surprise you these days, Dr. Hilden, when patients show up?
You know, it really doesn't anymore. You'd be I have some things. I had a couple of friends over last night. We were having some nice Thai food, and we were talking about the guy, and I were talking about some of the weird things we've seen. He used to work at the state hospital in St. Peter, and I, of course, work at HCMC, and we were talking about our various things that the human body can and does do. And we were laughing, and our two spouses were like, okay, this is like not normal conversation. Yes, I have seen nearly everything. And it just goes to show, whatever you have, whatever your medical condition is, whatever weird thing you've got on your skin or any other question that you might have, it's okay. Somebody else has had it. It's just part of being human. And so we do see all kinds of weird things and sometimes not so weird things. But whatever you have, it's okay. It's just who you are.
One of the things that we've been talking about among our family, because our daughters are in town and both of them coming from out west, one in the Sacramento area, and then of course the latest news with the Boundary Waters and the wildfires. So wildfires have been a real hot topic for our family this past week. Any medical advice when it comes to this kind of air, whether it's happening in Minnesota or as people go out west?
Yeah, it is so, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this, but the smoky air is problematic for some people. Now, we had some of those smoky air days a few weeks ago that were problematic for everybody. It was so bad that everybody should be careful, because you're literally like standing in the middle of a campfire and breathing that in. That's not good for anyone's lungs. But in general, when the air quality isn't so good, it's particularly hard for people with airway or lung diseases such as asthma or emphysema, otherwise known as COPD, or if people have bad other respiratory or heart problems, heart failure, bad lung cancer. Your lungs and your heart work in conjunction with each other to obviously get oxygen into your body and carbon dioxide out of your body, and it does so quite efficiently. But if your lungs are already compromised because they have an airway disease, such as emphysema or asthma, the smoke irritates the heck out of your airways and makes it even worse. So those folks should literally stay inside when the air quality is bad. And all people should avoid real heavy exercise when air quality is bad. I actually took to checking the air quality during those wildfire smoky days that we had recently.
Well, that's not surprising. I mean, it's actually pretty scary. I can only imagine what people are dealing with out west and in that really heavily hit part near and in the Boundary Waters. All right, the texts are just streaming in. Keep them going, folks. 651-989-9226. This is an open line show on Healthy Matters. We'll take a break, and then Dr. Hilden and I will be back.
Okay, guys, let's do some dancing. Let's show me my moves.
Oh, my God! It's Andy Reid! It's Andy Reid! It's Andy Reid!
All right, this is a new one for us.
Dr. Holy Hilden. Cow, I'm not that awake yet.
Yeah, I mean, where does Devin pull these things out of? I mean, he is a musical genius. That one, folks, on Healthy Matters this Sunday morning is to wake you up and to remind you it's Open Line Sunday here with Dr. Hilden and me, Rashini Rajkumara. Send us your text, 651-989-9226. Okay, lots of texts coming in, doctor. Let's get to this one. I have been on hydralazine, for heart failure and high blood pressure for a few years. Is this help for both?
So I'm going to have you read it to me again. They're on hydralazine for heart failure and what?
High blood pressure.
Yeah. Hydralazine is what's called a vasodilator. Vaso is blood vessel. Dilator makes them bigger, dilates them. And heart failure is a condition where sometimes your blood vessels get constricted and clamped down and they get congested. It's sort of like a plumbing problem, actually. Hydralazine opens up those blood vessels, makes them wider, allows the blood to flow, and ironically allows the blood to flow to your kidneys so you can urinate all that extra fluid. That's sort of how it works in heart failure. And because they are also dilating your blood vessels and relaxing those blood vessels, it helps your blood pressure. It generally drops your blood pressure. They are very useful for both those conditions. It's not often the very first drug we use for either of those conditions. So you're probably on something else as well if you're on hydralazine, but they are effective. Not the first one we'd use, but if your doctor has you on hydralazine for blood pressure or heart failure, though, that's a good drug.
All right, this texter says, I was diagnosed with carotid artery blockage, 60% on the right, 70% on the left. MRA scheduled for tomorrow. What are my options?
Right, your carotid arteries are the two of the big four blood vessels that go to your brain in your neck. There's two in the back, the vertebral arteries, and two in the front, the carotid arteries. And you can feel it. If you put your index and your middle finger over your left or the right side of the front of your neck, you can feel it. That's that big pulse there. Since there's only those four big blood vessels to your brain, you really don't want them to be blocked up, do you? Now, if you have stenosis or narrowing of those arteries, the blood supply can get compromised to the brain. I would say that 60 and 40% are not very high numbers. It sounds high, but it's not. It's something to know about. In other words, keep your blood pressure under control, keep your cholesterol under control, but to fix them, they have to do a procedure that's quite invasive. It can be done by a radiologist, it can be done by a neurologist with an N, or it can be done by a surgeon. There are ways to open up those blood vessels, but let's be honest, you don't want someone messing around with one of the four blood vessels to your brain unless they have to. And so we generally reserve those invasive treatments for when it's quite severe. And so just I would undergo the testing, but then have a really good, honest conversation with your doctors about your next options, because they do carry some risk, and you only want to do it if it is necessary.
All right, lots of great questions coming in. This is kind of a scary one. Woke up last night, stood up, but couldn't walk forward. Woke husband, who walked me into the bathroom. He helped afterwards, but it was much improved, and I think I could have done it alone. Question, whom do I see? A neurologist, an ENT, primary, or can I ignore it if it is just one episode?
I agree with you, Rasheen. That's a wee bit concerning, that whole story. So my first thing I would do is if that is happening to you, I would go to an emergency department. If you can't walk suddenly, you could be having a stroke. Now, fortunately, it got better, which a stroke is by definition, your symptoms don't get better. But you could have had a TIA, a mini stroke. You could have had just something in non-stroke. You could have had an inner ear problem. So if that occurs, new weakness, new trouble walking, new vocal problems, speech problems, go to an emergency department. Call 911, actually. But since it got better, now I think you're okay to take a little time and figure out what you had, and I would go to your primary doctor. I would call them and have them do an initial evaluation and see what you have. But I got to repeat, if those symptoms return, don't be waiting around for a clinic visit. You go to an emergency department.
All right. If you have questions for Dr. Hilden, 651-989-9226. What are your thoughts on the Exogen ultrasound bone healing system sent to me through my orthopedic surgeon for a broken heel?
Boy, I'm going to punt because I'm not familiar enough with that to say. So I don't want to say skeptical. I just want to make sure that we're only doing things that are at least have our best science behind them. And it might have really good science behind it. I'm just ignorant about that. I don't know enough about that that device, that system. There are ultrasound types of treatment modalities for musculoskeletal conditions. But I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, I can't answer that with any more detail than that.
All right. This person asks, will there be a flu shot available this year? I haven't heard of anything yet.
Yeah, there sure will be. In fact, I would get it at the usual time in September or October. Flu season was a non-issue last year for one reason. We all had our masks on and nobody was coming within a mile of each other. So nobody got the flu. It just goes, and nobody, even colds were less. Everything was less. It just goes to show that, wow, we pass things on to each other routinely as living in a community of humans.
Haven't you said, like, humans are dirty?
They are. It's just like unbelievable.
Or germy.
Yeah, nobody's getting colds even or anything. It's incredible. But flu is out there. Get your flu shot. You don't want that on top of COVID. And fortunately, last year we didn't. So, yes, get your flu shot.
All right, I want to remind people to look at Dr. Hilden's Twitter page, at Dr. David Hilden. Give him a follow, but also look at the great pictures he posted from past years at the fair. Some great shots you've been posting all weekend. I love them.
Yeah, what do you think? It's got some years past, some of my physician colleagues showed up at the state fair show with my face on a stick.
Yeah, that's my favorite picture by far. I'm going to save that onto my phone for use at a later date.
I was doing live radio. I mean, I was trying to answer some question about hearts or lungs or something, and a bunch of people walked up with my face on a stick, and I about choked.
If there's a big face I want to see, Dr. Hilden, it's yours.
Thanks.
And on a stick, even better. All right, let's get in one more before we have to go to break. Is Kratom, K-R-A-T-O-M, safe for pain management and energy?
This is an herbal supplement that I know relatively little about, but I believe that this one is not effective and frankly, probably not safe. There are many, many herbal supplements that do what they say they're going to do. Most of them are plenty safe. They don't have as much science behind them as some of the other things we do, but that doesn't mean they're not okay. Many things are okay. They've been used for thousands of years, and they might actually help. This isn't among them. I would not take that medication. Everything I know is that it is potentially not safe and really probably doesn't help anyway.
All right, kind of related. Let's squeeze this one in. Dr. Hilden, do homeopathic treatments for COVID have any effect?
No.
All right,
is that a good answer?
We got that in well in the nick of time there. All right, we have to take a break. Our text line, 651-989-9226. We'll be right back. We are back on Healthy Matters. Dr. David Hilden and Rashini Rajkumar, we are taking your texts. We've got a lot of questions coming in, so get them in now so we can get to you before we have to say goodbye. 651-989-9226. All right, Dr. Hilden, I do have to follow up because I don't think you've ever given a one-word answer before to that homeopathic treatment question for COVID.
Yeah, thanks. I don't usually just give a one-word answer in general, because nothing's so simple in life. But that was my first response to the homeopathic things work for COVID, and they don't. Homeopathy is a branch of healing that's relatively controversial, although it's not particularly controversial in the medical community. It doesn't work. Many integrative and alternative treatments do work. In fact, our hospital has an exceptionally good integrative medicine department. It's a large academic-based department. There are loads of things that do work that are not in traditional allopathic Western medicine. Many things work. Homeopathy is probably not one of them. And as for COVID, it does not work. So for COVID, no. But, even for everything else, it's pretty much on the outskirts of modern medical thought. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Lots of COVID and booster questions. So let's get into some of those. This listener says, if I had problems with J&J, would it be a good idea for my booster to be Pfizer or Moderna?
It probably wouldn't matter, but it's not recommended. Right now, we're still saying get the shot, the initial one you got. But I think you're going to be hearing a lot of that thought and that guideline evolve over the months. It'll probably be just fine when the boosters are out. And I think we'll have more information when boosters do come out. And so it'll probably be okay for you to get any of them. But right now, we're still recommending get the one you got before. Little news on J&J. They did a study of the antibody levels after vaccination, and everybody says, well, I should have got the Moderna or the Pfizer one because they're better. Well, the Johnson & Johnson antibody levels were outstanding 6 months after you got the shot. So if you got the J&J, sleep well. You did a good thing.
All right. This person says, I'm 62, have an autoimmune condition. I got my last dose of Pfizer vaccine in early March. When can I get my booster shot? My daughter is getting married in October, and I'm unsure what my immunity will be at that time.
Right. We are giving now. We are giving booster shots to people who are immunocompromised. We're not even really calling them boosters. A booster is if you got the full series of shots, either the one Johnson & Johnson or the two of the other vaccines. A booster is like a third one, an additional one above the recommended ones. And that's what's going to be coming out 8 months after you got your last shot. So if you got it in March, your booster would be out in September or October. However, people who are immunocompromised, it's not even really considered a booster because the first two shots maybe didn't have the robust effect that we wanted if your immune system is compromised. So it's really just getting the third shot is sort of just completing the primary series. So if you have an immune compromised condition, certainly if you have cancer and you are on treatment, or if you are on immunosuppressants for a rheumatological condition or an autoimmune condition. So if you're on any of those drugs that end in the letters A, B, or IB, the ones that are advertised on TV a lot, you probably have an immune compromised condition and you should be getting your third shot, and you can get it now. You don't even have to wait. You can get it right now.
Dr. Hilden, speaking about the immune system, many people have their adenoids or their tonsils removed, you know, in childhood or at other times. Those are part of your immune system. Should people be concerned about that when it comes to COVID?
That's something I haven't really considered much, because the COVID does live in, the virus enters in your oronasal pharynx, your throat, your mouth, your nose, and that's where your adenoids and tonsils are. And they are indeed part of your immune system. So it could be that something we don't yet know, that people without their adenoids and tonsils have a little different response to COVID. Like, for instance, they don't fight it in their nose as well. I don't know that to be the case, and I don't know if anyone has studied it. It's fortunate that we're not taking out tonsils and adenoids so much anymore. Geez, they did it for like at the drop of a hat back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And we're leaving them in kids more often now and only taking them out when they're chronically inflamed and infected. So more to come, I guess. Something to keep your ear out to the news about people without tonsils and adenoids. Right now, I wouldn't do anything different. Get your vaccines, put your masks on when you're in crowds, and do the social distancing thing that we've all come to know and love so much.
All right. This person says, if we want to take a COVID test after going to the fair, should we do it right when we get home? Or is it better to wait a day or two so that the test is accurate?
3 to 5 days. I would wait 3 to 5. Now, you can do it faster than in last year. We were telling people do it 5 to 7 days. Now, if you have at all concerned about your exposure to a virus, I would do it 3 to 5 days. I would encourage people to do it after coming back from the fair.
Okay, here's another one sounding kind of chronic. A couple weeks after J&J, my fibromyalgia worsened. A couple weeks later, I was saying it in my head, and now
you're doing great, Rashini.
Diverticulitis. Say that for us.
Diverticulitis.
Yeah, thank you. Bout got very bad a couple weeks later in the hospital with shingles. Should I get a booster when it's available, or do Moderna or Pfizer instead?
I would do any of the boosters that you get your hands on. And I don't think it was probably the vaccine you got that mattered so much, but rather, when you get any of the three vaccines, your body has an inflammatory response. It's supposed to. If you don't have any response, then it just didn't do anything. And so and bodies are different. Some people have, you know, trigger happy immune responses. And if you already have things like fibromyalgia or diverticulitis, you already have some inflammatory condition, maybe your body's just a little bit more sensitive to things. And so maybe you reacted to that vaccine. You didn't get COVID. It didn't give you diverticulitis and it didn't give you fibromyalgia, but you maybe did have a little flare up. So I would just grin and bear it and get the same shot you got before. Because I don't think it's going to be much better with the other two. Just get the same one when the booster comes out.
If you have questions for Dr. Hilden today, send us a text, 651-989-9226. This listener says, for the past month, my upper arms have periodic itching during the day, especially at night. It itches so much that I could scratch until it bleeds. My skin has very small marks, almost like a rash. I have not made any changes to diet or soaps. Any suggestions?
I like that. This person is you know, prescient. They're already forecasting what my questions are going to be. Do you have new soaps? Do you have new diet? Do you have new linens and your new bed sheets? If none of those are true, then it is possible that you have some kind of small little inflammatory skin condition, little folliculitis. You could have some type of allergic thing. They could be just a mild skin sensitivity to heat or humidity. People even get those. Or it could be something underlying. It could be the manifestation of a nutritional deficiency, or maybe your thyroid, maybe your vitamin B12 levels, maybe you're anemic, not enough hemoglobin. So these are easy blood tests. Basically, I would recommend starting with a dermatologist, because they are so good at simply looking at your skin and taking you down the right path. Whereas a more general doctor like me, as you can see, I might be doing a little bit of an educated guess. I would go to a dermatologist.
Okay, we've got one for you here. Why does it take so long to see a specialist? I have found it takes up to 2 months. I finally was able to make a virtual appointment with a urologist after a month, which is coming up this week. How does a urologist make an exam via Zoom?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
That's a How visual do they, I mean, really don't want to.
Yeah, that's one you don't want to think about too much, do you? But this is a legitimate point. Why does it take 2 months to get to a specialist? And I would say that it's going to vary wherever you go, different healthcare systems. But every healthcare system has one or two of their specialties where they just don't have the staffing or the capacity to see a specialist. But here's the other thing. You don't always need to. Many things, you could see your general doctor first. You'd be shocked at how much they can do without you having to go to a specialist. People think, well, it's in my urinary tract, must see a urologist. Oh, no. You know, 90% of things are handled by your primary doctor. But let's assume you've already done that and your urologist is 2 months out. They can do many things by Zoom. Virtually. It is not as good. They can't do exams, obviously. They just can't. But 80% of medical diagnosis happens by the history, by talking. And that's why I can answer questions on the air, is because most of the stuff comes from what you tell us. So they might not be able to get all of the diagnosis, but they can maybe get you to the 20-yard line. They can get you to the red zone. They can get you near that touchdown. And maybe it'll be enough for them to make a diagnosis or enough for them to at least schedule your next thing. And maybe that next thing won't be 2 months out.
All right, CJ from Champlin has this question. Do you feel comfortable with a chiropractor for neck pain? I've heard warnings, yet know people who are pro-adjustment for necks.
I am actually quite comfortable with chiropractic care. I think it's because I work with such outstanding chiropractors. Dr. Rick Printon has been on this show and has done great work. Now, the good chiropractors I know, including Dr. Printon, he's been practicing for decades, and he knows so much about the musculoskeletal system. And so there are times when a chiropractor can be quite helpful for you. I would suggest, though, that if your chiropractor thinks they're going to cure cancer, they go to a different chiropractor. So the difference is, what are they advertising that they can do? Is it sound too good to be true? Because then it might be. But there are some conditions. If your chiropractor says, I think I can help you with this, safely help you with this, that's probably true. But if they're giving you all kinds of outlandish things and they want to see you for 35 visits to treat your toenail fungus, you know, they're just sometimes it'll seem too good to be true, and maybe it is. But yes, chiropractors do have a role. They are some skilled professionals, and so I think it's reasonable.
Okay, we do have to take a break, and then we'll come back for our last segment. Remember, folks, lots of texts are coming in. We will try to get to all of them in our next segment. Send us your questions, 651-989-9226. Good Sunday morning, Rashini with you, along with Dr. David Hilden. And it is everyone's favorite open lines today on Healthy Matters. Give us a text with your questions, 651-989-9226. Dr. Hilden answers a lot of things, medical and non-medical. A lot of things get thrown at you, Dr. Hilden.
It does indeed. Good morning, Rashini. Yeah, I can't even hardly think of the breadth of the topics we've discussed since we started this show in 2009. And so keep them coming, listeners. See what you got for me this morning. I have poured myself a nice big cup of Kona Joe's coffee, and I'm ready to go. I'm sorry we're not with you in person at the State Fair. Best wishes to everybody who's out at the fair today. We're gonna not do it this year from the fair, but that's okay. We're going to talk to all of you anyway over the airwaves here. And if you're out at the fair, have a mini donut for me. And if you happen to be near the food building, the best 20 square feet of the Minnesota State Fairgrounds is Danielson's and Daughters Onion Rings. And no, they didn't pay me to say that. I probably shouldn't talk about an individual business, but go ahead. Get the onion rings. I hope you're having a good time at the fair, and I hope you're staying safe. If you're in the buildings, please do mask up. And if you're outside in massive crowds, I'd mask up there too. But otherwise, just enjoy. It's supposed to be, I think, a really nice day at the fair today.
Dr. Hilden, I'm glad you mentioned onion rings. I did not know about that stand, and onion rings are one of my favorite foods on earth.
These are amazing. In fact, they're not really rings. They're onion fragments and stuff. And I don't know what they do on the batter, but holy cow, I've been doing even growing up, I ate these, and I wasn't a big onion kid, but I think they've been there for for some decades. It's sort of kind of by where the how's that from Minnesota thing to say? By one end of the Sky Ride, the end by the Space Needle, over at that end of the fairgrounds, right up next to the food building, but outside the food building, just a little stand. Danielsons and daughters, and I don't know any of the Danielsons. I don't even know if his daughters are there, but they've got great onion rings.
No, that sounds great. And actually, if people are at the fair today, you can listen to us, even though we're not at the fair, and text us your questions, 651-989-9226, on this Open Line Sunday on Healthy Matters, powered by Hennepin Healthcare. Dr. Hilden gets a lot of questions, and you've really seen it all, heard it all, over these 13 years of doing this show. But you have also seen it all, heard it all, in your medical practice. Now, does anything surprise you these days, Dr. Hilden, when patients show up?
You know, it really doesn't anymore. You'd be, I have some things. I had a couple of friends over last night. We were having some nice Thai food, and we were talking about, the guy and I were talking about some of the weird things we've seen. He used to work at the State Hospital in St. Peter, and I, of course, work at HCMC, and we were talking about our various things that the human body can and does do. And we were laughing, and our two spouses were like, okay, this is like not normal conversation. Yes, I have seen nearly everything. And it just goes to show, whatever you have, whatever your medical condition is, whatever weird thing you've got on your skin or any other question that you might have, it's okay. Somebody else has had it. It's just part of being human. And so we do see all kinds of weird things and sometimes not so weird things. But whatever you have, it's okay. It's just who you are.
One of the things that we've been talking about among our family, because our daughters are in town and both of them coming from out west, one in the Sacramento area, and then, of course, the latest news with the Boundary Waters and the wildfires. So wildfires have been a real hot topic for our family this past week. Any medical advice when it comes to this kind of air, whether it's happening in Minnesota or as people go out west?
Yeah, it is so, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this, but the smoky air is problematic for some people. Now, we had some of those smoky air days a few weeks ago that were problematic for everybody. It was so bad that everybody should be careful, because you're literally like standing in the middle of a campfire and breathing that in. That's not good for anyone's lungs. But in general, when the air quality isn't so good, it's particularly hard for people with airway or lung diseases such as asthma or emphysema, otherwise known as COPD, or if people have bad other respiratory or heart problems, heart failure, bad lung cancer. Your lungs and your heart work in conjunction with each other to obviously get oxygen into your body and carbon dioxide out of your body, and it does so quite efficiently. But if your lungs are already compromised because they have an airway disease, such as emphysema or asthma, the smoke irritates the heck out of your airways and makes it even worse. So those folks should literally stay inside when the air quality is bad. And all people should avoid real heavy exercise when air quality is bad. I actually took to checking the air quality during those wildfire smoky days that we had recently.
Well, that's not surprising. I mean, it's actually pretty scary. I can only imagine what people are dealing with out west and in that really heavily hit part near and in the Boundary Waters. All right, the texts are just streaming in. Keep them going, folks. 651-989-9226. This is an open line show on Healthy Matters. We'll take a break, and then Dr. Hilden and I will be back.
Okay, guys, let's do some dancing. Let's show me my moves.
Oh, my God! It's onion rings! It's onion rings! It's onion rings!
All right, this is a new one for us.
Dr. Holy Hilden. Cow, I'm not that awake yet.
Yeah, I mean, where does Devin pull these things out of? I mean, he is a musical genius. That one, folks, on Healthy Matters this Sunday morning is to wake you up and to remind you it's Open Line Sunday here with Dr. Hilden and me, Rashini Rajkumara. Send us your text, 651-989-9226. Okay, lots of texts coming in, doctor. Let's get to this one. I have been on hydralazine, for heart failure and high blood pressure for a few years. Is this help for both?
So I'm going to have you read it to me again. They're on hydralazine for heart failure and what?
High blood pressure.
Yeah. Hydralazine is what's called a vasodilator. Vaso is blood vessel. Dilator makes them bigger, dilates them. And heart failure is a condition where sometimes your blood vessels get constricted and clamped down and they get congested. It's sort of like a plumbing problem, actually. Hydralazine opens up those blood vessels, makes them wider, allows the blood to flow, and ironically allows the blood to flow to your kidneys so you can urinate all that extra fluid. That's sort of how it works in heart failure. And because they're also dilating your blood vessels and relaxing those blood vessels, it helps your blood pressure. It generally drops your blood pressure. They are very useful for both those conditions. It's not often the very first drug we use for either of those conditions. So you're probably on something else as well if you're on hydralazine, but they are effective. Not the first one we'd use, but if your doctor has you on hydralazine for blood pressure or heart failure, that's a good drug.
All right, this texture says, I was diagnosed with carotid artery blockage, 60% on the right, 70% on the left. MRA scheduled for tomorrow. What are my options?
Right, your carotid arteries are the two of the big four blood vessels that go to your brain in your neck. There's two in the back, the vertebral arteries, and two in the front, the carotid arteries. And you can feel it. If you put your index and your middle finger over your left or the right side of the front of your neck, you can feel it. That's that big pulse there. Since there's only those four big blood vessels to your brain, you really don't want them to be blocked up, do you? Now, if you have stenosis or narrowing of those arteries, the blood supply can get compromised to the brain. I would say that 60 and 40% are not very high numbers. It sounds high, but it's not. It's something to know about. In other words, keep your blood pressure under control, keep your cholesterol under control, but to fix them, they have to do a procedure that's quite invasive. It can be done by a radiologist, it can be done by a neurologist with an N, or it can be done by a surgeon. There are ways to open up those blood vessels, but let's be honest, you don't want someone messing around with one of the four blood vessels to your brain unless they have to. And so we generally reserve those invasive treatments for when it's quite severe. And so I would undergo the testing, but then have a really good, honest conversation with your doctors about your next options, because they do carry some risk, and you only want to do it if it is necessary.
All right, lots of great questions coming in. This is kind of a scary one. Woke up last night, stood up, but couldn't walk forward. Woke husband, who walked me into the bathroom. He helped afterwards, but it was much improved, and I think I could have done it alone. Question, whom do I see? A neurologist, an ENT, primary, or can I ignore it if it is just one episode?
I agree with you, Rashini. That's a wee bit concerning, that whole story. So my first thing I would do is if that is happening to you, I would go to an emergency department. If you can't walk suddenly, you could be having a stroke. Now, fortunately, it got better, which a stroke is, by definition, your symptoms don't get better. But you could have had a TIA, a mini stroke. You could have had just something in non-stroke. You could have had an inner ear problem. So if that occurs, new weakness, new trouble walking, new vocal problems, speech problems, go to an emergency department. Call 911, actually. But since it got better, now I think you're okay to take a little time and figure out what you had, and I would go to your primary doctor. I would call them and have them do an initial evaluation and see what you have. But I got to repeat, if those symptoms return, don't be waiting around for a clinic visit. You go to an emergency department.
All right. If you have questions for Dr. Hilden, 651-989-9226. What are your thoughts on the Exogen ultrasound bone healing system sent to me through my orthopedic surgeon for a broken heel?
Boy, I'm going to punt because I'm not familiar enough with that to say. So I don't want to say skeptical. I just want to make sure that we're only doing things that are at least have our best science behind them. And it might have really good science behind it. I'm just ignorant about that. I don't know enough about that that device, that system. There are ultrasound types of treatment modalities for musculoskeletal conditions, but I'm going to have to say I'm sorry. I can't answer that with any more detail than that.
All right. This person asks, will there be a flu shot available this year? I haven't heard of anything yet.
Yeah, there sure will be. In fact, I would get it at the usual time in September or October. Flu season was a non-issue last year for one reason. We all had our masks on and nobody was coming within a mile of each other. So nobody got the flu. It just goes, and nobody, even colds were less. Everything was less. It just goes to show that, wow, we pass things on to each other routinely as living in a community of humans.
Haven't you said like humans are dirty?
They are. It's just like unbelievable.
Or germy.
Yeah, nobody's getting colds even or anything. It's incredible. But flu is out there. Get your flu shot. You don't want that on top of COVID. Unfortunately, last year we didn't. So, yes, get your flu shot.
All right. I want to remind people to look at Dr. Hilden's Twitter page, at Dr. David Hilden. Give him a follow. But also look at the great pictures he posted from past years at the fair. Some great shots you've been posting all weekend. I love them.
Yeah. What do you think? It's got some years past. Some of my physician colleagues showed up at the state fair show with my face on a stick.
Yeah, that's my favorite picture by far. I'm going to save that onto my phone for use at a later date.
I was doing live radio. I mean, I was trying to answer some question about hearts or lungs or something, and a bunch of people walked up with my face on a stick, and I about choked.
If there's a big face I want to see, Dr. Hilden, it's yours.
Thanks.
And on a stick, even better. All right, let's get in one more before we have to go to break. Is Kratom, K-R-A-T-O-M, safe for pain management and energy?
This is an herbal supplement that I know relatively little about, but I believe that this one is not effective and frankly, probably not safe. There are many, many herbal supplements that do what they say they're going to do. Most of them are plenty safe. They don't have as much science behind them as some of the other things we do, but that doesn't mean they're not okay. Many things are okay. They've been used for thousands of years, and they might actually help. This isn't among them. I would not take that medication. Everything I know is that it is potentially not safe and really probably doesn't help anyway.
All right, kind of related. Let's squeeze this one in. Dr. Hilden, do homeopathic treatments for COVID have any effect?
No.
All right,
is that a good answer?
We got that in well in the nick of time there. All right, we have to take a break. Our text line, 651-989-9226. We'll be right back. We are back on Healthy Matters. Dr. David Hilden and Rashini Rajkumar, we are taking your texts. We've got a lot of questions coming in, so get them in now so we can get to you before we have to say goodbye. 651-989-9226. All right, Dr. Hilden, I do have to follow up because I don't think you've ever given a one-word answer before to that homeopathic treatment question for COVID.
Yeah, thanks. I don't usually just give a one-word answer in general, because nothing's so simple in life. But that was my first response to the homeopathic things work for COVID, and they don't. Homeopathy is a branch of healing that's relatively controversial, although it's not particularly controversial in the medical community. It doesn't work. Many integrative and alternative treatments do work. In fact, our hospital has an exceptionally good integrative medicine department. It's a large academic-based department. There are loads of things that do work that are not in traditional allopathic Western medicine. Many things work. Homeopathy is probably not one of them. And as for COVID, it does not work. So for COVID, no. But, even for everything else, it's pretty much on the outskirts of modern medical thought. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Lots of COVID and booster questions. So let's get into some of those. This listener says, if I had problems with J&J, would it be a good idea for my booster to be Pfizer or Moderna?
It probably wouldn't matter, but it's not recommended. Right now, we're still saying get the shot, the initial one you got. But I think you're going to be hearing a lot of that thought and that guideline evolve over the months. It'll probably be just fine when the boosters are out. And I think we'll have more information when boosters do come out. And so it'll probably be okay for you to get any of them. But right now, we're still recommending get the one you got before. Little news on J&J. They did a study of the antibody levels after vaccination, and everybody says, well, I should have got the Moderna or the Pfizer one because they're better. Well, the Johnson & Johnson antibody levels were outstanding 6 months after you got the shot. So if you got the J&J, sleep well. You did a good thing.
All right. This person says, I'm 62, have an autoimmune condition. I got my last dose of Pfizer vaccine in early March. When can I get my booster shot? My daughter is getting married in October, and I'm unsure what my immunity will be at that time.
Right. We are giving now. We are giving booster shots to people who are immunocompromised. We're not even really calling them boosters. A booster is if you got the full series of shots, either the one Johnson & Johnson or the two of the other vaccines. A booster is like a third one, an additional one above the recommended ones. And that's what's going to be coming out 8 months after you got your last shot. So if you got it in March, your booster would be out in September or October. However, people who are immunocompromised, it's not even really considered a booster because the first two shots maybe didn't have the robust effect that we wanted if your immune system is compromised. So it's really just getting the third shot is sort of just completing the primary series. So if you have an immune compromised condition, certainly if you have cancer and you are on treatment, or if you are on immunosuppressants for a rheumatological condition or an autoimmune condition. So if you're on any of those drugs that end in the letters A, B, or IB, the ones that are advertised on TV a lot, you probably have an immune compromised condition and you should be getting your third shot, and you can get it now. You don't even have to wait. You can get it right now.
Dr. Hilden, speaking about the immune system, many people have their adenoids or their tonsils removed, you know, in childhood or at other times. Those are part of your immune system. Should people be concerned about that when it comes to COVID?
That's something I haven't really considered much because the COVID does live in, the virus enters in your oronasal pharynx, your throat, your mouth, your nose, and that's where your adenoids and tonsils are. And they are indeed part of your immune system. So it could be that something we don't yet know, that people without their adenoids and tonsils have a little different response to COVID. Like, for instance, they don't fight it in their nose as well. I don't know that to be the case, and I don't know if anyone has studied it. It's fortunate that we're not taking out tonsils and adenoids so much anymore. Geez, they did it for like at the drop of a hat back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And we're leaving them in kids more often now and only taking them out when they're chronically inflamed and infected. So more to come, I guess. Something to keep your ear out to the news about people without tonsils and adenoids. Right now, I wouldn't do anything different. Get your vaccines, put your masks on when you're in crowds, and do the social distancing thing that we've all come to know and love so much.
All right. This person says, if we want to take a COVID test after going to the fair, should we do it right when we get home? Or is it better to wait a day or two so that the test is accurate?
3 to 5 days. I would wait 3 to 5. Now, you can do it faster than in last year. We were telling people do it 5 to 7 days. Now, if you have at all concerned about your exposure to a virus, I would do it 3 to 5 days. I would encourage people to do it after coming back from the fair.
Okay, here's another one sounding kind of chronic. A couple weeks after J&J, my fibromyalgia worsened. A couple weeks later, I was saying it in my head, and now
you're doing great, Rashini.
Diverticulitis. Say that for us.
Diverticulitis.
Yeah, thank you. Bout got very bad a couple weeks later in the hospital with shingles. Should I get a booster when it's available, or do Moderna or Pfizer instead?
I would do any of the boosters that you get your hands on. And I don't think it was probably the vaccine you got that mattered so much, but rather when you get any of the three vaccines, your body has an inflammatory response. It's supposed to. If you don't have any response, then it just didn't do anything. And so and bodies are different. Some people have, you know, trigger happy immune responses. And if you already have things like fibromyalgia or diverticulitis, you already have some inflammatory condition, maybe your body's just a little bit more sensitive to things. And so maybe you reacted to that vaccine. You didn't get COVID. It didn't give you diverticulitis and it didn't give you fibromyalgia, but you maybe did have a little flare up. So I would just grin and bear it and get the same shot you got before. Because I don't think it's going to be much better with the other two. Just get the same one when the booster comes out.
If you have questions for Dr. Hilden today, send us a text, 651-989-9226. This listener says, for the past month, my upper arms have periodic itching during the day, especially at night. It itches so much that I could scratch until it bleeds. My skin has very small marks, almost like a rash. I have not made any changes to diet or soaps. Any suggestions?
I like that. This person is prescient. They're already forecasting what my questions are going to be. Do you have new soaps? Do you have new diet? Do you have new linens and your new bed sheets? If none of those are true, then it is possible that you have some kind of small little inflammatory skin condition, little folliculitis. You could have some type of allergic thing. They could be just a mild skin sensitivity to heat or humidity. People even get those. Or it could be something underlying. It could be the manifestation of a nutritional deficiency, or maybe your thyroid, maybe your vitamin B12 levels, maybe you're anemic, not enough hemoglobin. So these are easy blood tests. Basically, I would recommend starting with a dermatologist because they are so good at simply looking at your skin and taking you down the right path. Whereas a more general doctor like me, as you can see, I might be doing a little bit of an educated guess. I would go to a dermatologist.
Okay, we've got one for you here. Why does it take so long to see a specialist? I have found it takes up to 2 months. I finally was able to make a virtual appointment with a urologist after a month, which is coming up this week. How does a urologist make an exam via Zoom?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
That's a How visual do they, I mean, really don't want to
Yeah, that's one you don't want to think about too much, do you? But this is a legitimate point. Why does it take 2 months to get to a specialist? And I would say that it's going to vary wherever you go, different healthcare systems. But every healthcare system has one or two of their specialties where they just don't have the staffing or the capacity to see a specialist. But here's the other thing. You don't always need to. Many things, you could see your general doctor first. You'd be shocked at how much they can do without you having to go to a specialist. People think, well, it's in my urinary tract, must see a urologist. Oh, no. You know, 90% of things are handled by your primary doctor. But let's assume you've already done that and your urologist is 2 months out. They can do many things by Zoom. Virtually. It is not as good. They can't do exams, obviously. They just can't. But 80% of medical diagnosis happens by the history, by talking. And that's why I can answer questions on the air, is because most of the stuff comes from what you tell us. So they might not be able to get all of the diagnosis, but they can maybe get you to the 20-yard line. They can get you to the red zone. They can get you near that touchdown. And maybe it'll be enough for them to make a diagnosis or enough for them to at least schedule your next thing. And maybe that next thing won't be 2 months out.
All right, CJ from Champlin has this question. Do you feel comfortable with a chiropractor for neck pain? I've heard warnings, yet know people who are pro-adjustment for necks.
I am actually quite comfortable with chiropractic care. I think it's because I work with such outstanding chiropractors. Dr. Rick Printon has been on this show and has done great work. Now, the good chiropractors I know, including Dr. Printon, he's been practicing for decades, and he knows so much about the musculoskeletal system. And so there are times when a chiropractor can be quite helpful for you. I would suggest, though, that if your chiropractor thinks they're going to cure cancer, they go to a different chiropractor. So the difference is, what are they advertising that they can do? Is it sound too good to be true? Because then it might be. But there are some conditions. If your chiropractor says, I think I can help you with this, safely help you with this, that's probably true. But if they're giving you all kinds of outlandish things and they want to see you for 35 visits to treat your toenail fungus, you know, they're just sometimes it'll seem too good to be true, and maybe it is. But yes, chiropractors do have a role. They are some skilled professionals, and so I think it's reasonable.
Okay, we do have to take a break, and then we'll come back for our last segment. Remember, folks, lots of texts are coming in. We will try to get to all of them in our next segment. Send us your questions, 651-989-9226. We're back on Healthy Matters. Rashini Rajkumar, along with your host, Dr. David Hilden. The questions are just pouring in, Doc, so let's try to get through as many as we can. This listener wants to know what you think about acupuncture.
For many things, similar to chiropractor, for many things, acupuncture is something I recommend to people. This falls into the category of, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I don't know everything. I mean, people have been doing acupuncture for some years, not 5,000. It's been done for a long time. And there is something to it. People do report significant improvement in some of their symptoms. Not everybody, but nothing that works for everybody. So I would go to an acupuncturist for things if you're having difficulty with chronic pain, for migraines, for menstrual cramps, there's just a whole host of things that it might help for. It's not going to help if your leg is snapped in two. You need a surgeon, you know, but for some kinds of conditions, it's helpful. So we have outstanding acupuncturists at Hennepin Healthcare. If you need one, go to hennepinhealthcare.org and look up acupuncture, and there's only one C in the first syllable there. And you can find one, and they're really good. It is one of those things that if they tell you it's going to cure everything under the sun, that's probably an exaggeration. I don't tell people that anything I do cures everything. So, but find somebody who is that you relate to, that you have a good rapport with, and they may be able to help you out. Acupuncture does work for many people.
Is there any proof that magnets placed on the body increase circulation or provide any other health benefits?
No, there isn't. Now, again, I don't know everything about this, but there is a precious little, no evidence that works. But you know, again, maybe some research needs to be done, and there's something I don't know, but I don't recommend that.
This person says, I am autoimmune. When can I get the booster shot? My doctor said it isn't available.
It is if you have an autoimmune or an if you're immunocompromised, your immune system isn't up to snuff, if you will. We have been starting those shots this week. You can get it now if you have an immune compromised condition.
Okay, lots of interesting questions coming in. This listener says, right arm feeling tingly and numb off and on for 2 months, heading to physical therapy, and instead of cortisone shots, recommended dry needling to the muscles and the tight knots. Almost immediately relieved after a session. Never heard of it before, but it works. Do you want to comment on that?
Right. We sometimes do anti-inflammatory injections, but sometimes you don't need that. There are some people who have tried these needling techniques, and this is something well outside my area of expertise. It appears to be safe, and if it works for you, who am I to judge? You know, if it's working. Sometimes you don't need something injected into you. It's similar to acupuncture. They don't inject anything into you when they do acupuncture. And if you have a chronic musculoskeletal condition, it might be something that you can ask about. What I do recommend for people, if you have any numbness or tingling or weakness in your arm, these can be signs of something quite serious. So if you have a neurological condition or a vascular condition, in other words, your blood vessels or the nerves to your arm aren't working, those can be signs of something more serious. That can be strokes, that can be pinched nerves in your neck. That can be any number of things that are a little bit more serious. So before you do something like needling, I would make sure that you have diagnosed what the problem is. If it is something more serious, I would see a neurologist or start at least with your primary doctor and make sure that you've ruled out some of those other big bad things. And if it's none of those things and you're still having trouble, then some of these other things might be helpful for you.
All right. This person says, I've had both shots months ago. I've also had bypass surgery 20 years ago. Been feeling fine. I'm wondering if I should be considered for the urgent group for the booster.
I don't think so. If you had bypass surgery 20 years ago, you're pretty much like the rest of us now. You don't have an immune compromised condition. You are at higher risk if you get COVID. But if you're cabbage surgery, cabbage stands for coronary artery bypass. We call it cabbage. If your bypass surgery was 20 years ago and you've been doing fine, you're probably not at much higher risk than any of the rest of us. So are you in the urgent group? No. But when a booster shot becomes available to the general population, I would get it.
Okay. This person says, are you aware of a test that provides a quantified result of antibodies and compares that to ideal protection? Also, what is your perspective on the level of antibodies present in a person who had a confirmed case of COVID and one dose of the Pfizer vaccine?
Yeah, the antibody levels do rise. It is one measure of the effectiveness of vaccines, and they do rise. They must, otherwise the vaccine didn't work. But they are expected to wane or decline over time. Antibodies are not considered an effective measure of your immunity, however. And the tests that are available are not regulated, and they're not standard enough, and some of them weren't even measuring the right antibody. You know, there's other coronaviruses. It's not just this one. There's already four others that cause the common cold. And so those tests are not reliable. Now, if you have no antibodies, that's not good. It's not as good as having some antibodies. But the FDA does not currently recommend antibody testing as a way to measure your clinical safety. Because what's important is, are you at risk of getting severely ill? And if it was simply a number on an antibody test, well, wouldn't that be nice? But it's not that simple. Your immune system is more than antibodies. It's your white blood cells, your T cells, your memory cells, the cells that live in your body for all eternity to help remember prior infections. So antibodies alone are important. And maybe in the future, that's what we'll be using. But right now, it's not an adequate measure of your immunity.
All right, here's a real quick question. What's the best cure for toenail fungus?
Removing the toenail. I'm serious. That'll get rid of it. And it sounds horrible, but that will get rid of it. Beyond that, there are some pills you can take that are effective in about half of the people. Your primary doctor can give you some of those medications. The topical ones don't work hardly at all.
Wow. All right, Doc, lots of great questions today. We'll be back next Sunday, as people know. During the week, you can always drop us a line on Twitter, at Dr. David Hilden or at Rashini R. And, of course, you can always go to Hennepin Healthcare's website or follow it on Twitter at Hennepin HC for lots of valuable information.
Absolutely. I want everybody to listen in next week. We're going to have an important show next week. And I want to tell people that we're going to be doing some transitions in the show. And it pains me to say it, but you and I aren't going to be sidekicks anymore after next week. It's your last show with us next week. Rashini, tell us about what's going on.
It is going to be my last show. I am kind of giving up my Sundays on WCCO Radio. I am sunsetting my show, which many people know is 9 a.m., Real Talk with Rashini. And in doing so, I have to say goodbye to my duties on this show and the financial show after this show. So next Sunday will be my last day co-hosting with Dr. Hilden on this show. We have some special things planned, so we hope you join us at 7 a.m. Always your questions are welcome. Text, tweet us during the week, drop Dr. Hilden a line, and we'll be back together. Dr. Hilden, it's been such a joy for now going on 11 months we've been co-hosts of this show.
Yeah, it's been simply a joy, and you and I have laughed together a lot. We've tried to provide some great information to people, and it has been just absolute joy working with you, Rashini. And so it's such a bittersweet announcement, but please, everybody, tune in next week. We're going to talk more about that, about the partnership that Rashini and I have had, and what's next for the show.
Make it a great week, and we'll also have more fun music from Devin next week, too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.